I feel very, very happy to have the conversation today with you. I'm very excited. It was a very funny interview, by the way, because I just remember like the video part of it. I mean, you just listened to the audio basically.
Yes.
But you were, I don't know if you're still with the same girlfriend. You were in Canada.
Oh man, I have so many things to
And
tell you.
it was just funny because within the interview, you also had to move because your internet connection wasn't really too
And she
good
was
at
in the
the.
back. I was listening to the interview, and she laughed a couple of times. She was
Yes.
like, "Sophie, you're in the interview." And yeah, man, it was really fun to rewatch, re-listening to it because I look back to the person I was 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago. It
Yes.
was around November 2020 because I remember mentioning that day. Remember, I said like actually yesterday was my first day of skiing, so November, December,
Yeah.
2020. So that makes it 3 years ago. And hell, man, it's been a ride.
Then let's just, I mean, let's just jump in. I mean, that doesn't need to be that much of it. It may maybe a little bit of introduction of yourself, like who you are, to just get the listeners a little bit on board, maybe who you are, what you're doing, maybe, and then I would just, I don't know, right away jump into your story and the progress you maybe did, and with all the beautiful lessons maybe you also have for us, for the listeners.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. Again, I'm Diego. Now I'm 29 years old. I'm still an engineer. Not a ski instructor anymore. I am still a mountain bike instructor, even though it's almost been a year since my last lesson. And currently, I live in Norway. I used to live in Canada for 3 years. I recently moved to Norway and now I'm working as an engineer here in Norway. A very big change of events since the last time we talked. And I'm from Chile, by the way. That's also important to mention.
That is very true. Yeah, it's crazy. What I really loved, what you say to really begin the podcast the last time was that you are a huge, I mean, I don't know, you're just listening a lot to what your gut feeling tells you. You're really listening to like where your heart really puts you, which I think is really impressive, because to be able to like listening closely to what, I don't know, to the life you are dreaming maybe for, and then to follow it. Like it's just a beautiful journey that you're from Chile to Canada to, I mean, really, really fast forward to like now Norway. It's just insane. I don't know, maybe just, I don't know, pick up the pace and tell us
Okay.
how those things, I mean, what have you created for yourself? Why did you do the moves you did? And how does all this change was coming into your life, or I don't know, you attracted the
Yeah,
change. I don't know.
it was good that I listened to the episode yesterday. There was a couple of things. First of all, I realized that I was speaking too fast. I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I interrupted you a lot. And today I'm gonna let you ask you questions because I want you to ask me questions today. Last time I just like, well, how we have an hour, I'm gonna spit my story. But it's a shorter frame of time now that I'm gonna talk about, so I'll just get to it. Okay, last time we spoke, I was in Revelstoke, 2020. I was recently moved there, living the dream, working remotely, skiing every day, and I had an awesome ski season. I thought I was gonna go back to Chile. I was actually listening to the podcast, and I thought I was gonna go back to Chile in May that year, which didn't happen. We end up with my girlfriend. We end up moving back to Whistler, where I originally started everything, and because I was supposed to move back to Chile, but we didn't know how or when, so we canceled the lease that we had on the house in Revelstoke, and we just jumped straight into, okay, let's go to Whistler. And again, sudden move out of like, this is what we feel like we need to do. We're gonna do it. No plan. And the housing situation in Whistler, we already talked about it, is quite tight and quite hard to navigate sometimes. So we didn't have where to stay. But I had some contacts from that season I was coaching. And my really good friend Brian, he's the father of three wonderful ladies. Shredders, absolutely incredible athletes, the three of them. And little athletes, 5, 7, and well, they're a little bit older now, but they're kids. And yeah, I reached out to him and he gave me a hand. He received me in his house a couple of days and he lent me a camper van, like a fifth wheel, you know, like a big one.
Yeah.
For a month. We lived in a camper van for a month. Meanwhile, I was still working for this company, like remotely.
Yeah.
It was quite funny. They really liked how I was working remote. I actually had a very cool, I have really good memories from that month work-wise. I think it was, I don't know, I was just feeling in such a cool mood working in this little, like, you know, camper table in this, like forest where the camper vans were set up.
Oh, nice.
We just lived there for a month. And yeah, Sophia didn't have work and her visa was ending. So, well, we were looking for a house. And I had a couple of friends also in Whistler who were looking for a house. And we ended up finding a place in Whistler. Very expensive, but it was something we could manage. I was also in some salary negotiations because of this. I was like, hey, I've been here 6 months already. Money's pretty tight for me. I need to, like, I really like working here, but I need a little bit more money. It went well. I think I was already making myself valuable in the company. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from that work was I knew right away that I needed to make myself valuable because I knew that I needed to, like, be safe with my work. So, yeah, but at this point, it was still being very present, kind of with this wild energy of following my heart, not really knowing where I was going, just doing day by day. So we find a place there and we lived there for the summer. And at some point in May, Sophia had to leave because her her uncle had cancer.
Yeah.
No, her auntie, no, not her uncle. Her auntie has cancer and she had a very short life expectancy. And she was also without a job, without a visa, no money. Like everything was giving her the signals that she had to go home. And she was not home for like 5 years. She was studying in New Zealand. Then she moved to Canada. We met. We at this point, we've been in Canada together for a year. And so she got like, her guts were telling her to go home. So she left. And I was left alone. And a couple days later, I got really hurt. I crashed pretty bad on my bike. I didn't break my hand, but I twisted it pretty bad. And for the first time in my life, I got depression.
Wow.
Yes. And how I knew? Because one day, I couldn't get off of bed. I was so tired. I just couldn't. Like, I was like, no energy at all. And I'm a very energetic person. So I was like, this is not okay. I need to say that I was working with people in this company working remotely called FC Sports. It's a streaming company. This streams online sports, football, basically, South American football. My boss, who is an absolute hero, mentor, great professional, I learned so much from him. And we always had this very open and honest relationship, and immediately told him. And also these past 6, 7, 8 months, I've been working like crazy, a lot of overtime hours. I've been giving, like, really sweating it up for the team. And I was really honest, and I told him, like, hey, I'm not feeling okay. Like, something's happening. I'm off. And he was immediately like, take a week. He knew I was probably close to burnout. Like, he's really good at calculating those things in people. And so he was like, right away, don't work all week. But yeah, that was the start of a really interesting process that I didn't have before in my life. And starting coming back to a lot of childhood traumas and, wow, seeking help for the first time. I was brave enough to go and know that this was something that I was not going to be able to cope for myself fully. And I was going to need some guidance. So I started seeking psychological help. It helped me really a lot to start try to find where it was coming from. And I started getting better, but it was really rough. I think it was also a mix of everything. Overworked, Sophie leaving, getting hurt. I was like, You know, like I think I always coped a little bit with adrenaline in my life. Like use the high intensity activities to sometimes hide some deeper feelings or emotions.
Wow.
So the moment
Powerful.
That you take that away, it's like in adrenaline. Well, people say it's a drug. It's a high condensed dopamine, right? So you take it away one day, like right away from one day to another one, and that would affect anybody. So rock bottom. And I started a process of self-consciousness, more less spiritual, more in my foundation as a person and the traumas that I had in my childhood, in my growing up with my family. So that was interesting. Yeah, it was an interesting summer. I still, I didn't coach. I didn't have a work visa. So I was just recovering from all this. Still living in an awesome place with a lot of lakes and good friends. I had a good support network. My friend that was living with me was the same that it was in my group of friends that we had during COVID. So he was we were brothers, and he had to put up with me for a couple months. And I'm sorry, Gabby, if you listen to this. I feel you, brother. I know I was not easy, but well, fast forward, went well. I did recover and I did bounce back. Obviously, as I started recovering from the hand, and I started biking more, that started bringing a little bit myself. But obviously, that started also creating some questions on what do I want to do in my life. It was a lot of existential crisis, right? When these things happen, you start questioning what I'm doing with my life. I'm 26, 27, but I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Like my financial situation, it's on the verge of me falling and having to pay some hospital bills. So a lot of stress. But Sophia came back. Obviously, that was... after 3 months, that was also really hard. Long distance is not for everyone. No. Definitely not for me. And then we came back, and then we did the same trip that we did every year to the Vancouver Island. Another magical experience that will, like, nowadays we listen to the songs of that trip, and it brings back those memories, right? Very healing experiences. Those long vacations, 3 weeks on the car. We were road tripping and sleeping on a mattress in the car. We had this old Toyota Sienna. It was a whole mattress and a bike rack, and we load the bikes. We went this biking trip that was very healing. And as we came back, our landlord informed us that they needed the apartment back. So November, we were going to lose our place. Sophia came back with a visa, though, to work for a guiding company. And it's like a forest schooling for kids in Revelstoke. So we were going to move back to Revelstoke. But at this point, my visa was ending. I was a full year since my work visa ended in visitor visa. And I had to leave the country. And my passport was expiring. So... I knew, like we talked about it, that I was going to leave in November. So we moved to Revelstoke together and for a couple of weeks. But came the time. I bought a ticket very consciously this time, in a way different feeling than when COVID happened. I was ready to come back. It was time. I had to do some documents. I had to go back. And I was honestly very broke. So... it was definitely time to go to Chile. I was earning getting some decent pay, really good for Chilean wages. Obviously, for living in Canada, it wasn't that good, but for living in Chile, it was really good. So the plan was go home, save some money, regroup, save, and come back. That was always the plan. Come back. That was in my heart. I knew I was coming back, even though I was living without visa. And without any assurance that I was coming back. So, I flew on mid-November 2021. And I didn't tell most of my friends. I didn't tell anybody, actually. I didn't tell my dad. The only one that knew was my mom, because my mom works in a travel agency, so she always helps me with my travels. And my mom knew, but nobody knew. And I had actually a really cool story from my trip back, because I traveled with my bike, right? And my bike was my biggest asset at this point. I've been burning the money all the money I saved in my life. I've been burning it, slowly burning it out during the last 2 years in Canada. So I flew from Kelowna to Toronto. And from Toronto, I was going to spend one night and I was going to meet my mom in Miami. That she flew to Miami too, because she was so excited to see me that she flew to Miami to meet me. And
amazing.
Yeah, so I flew to Toronto. I spent the night in Toronto. I went to the next day to the airport and I got my bike in the plane and everything. And when I was heading to the boarding gate, they denied my boarding. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean, yeah.
They had said, yeah, you have a ticket, but we oversold the flight and I'm sorry, we didn't assign you a seat.
Oh, wow.
And I was so mad. I was like, dude, my mom is waiting for me. Like, this is not okay. And they were like, obviously, airline. Sorry, like, there's nothing we can do. I knew there was a lot they could do. The first thing I told you is like, guys, my bike, it's in that plane. Please call someone to get it off. Because that plane is flying to Miami without me. And if my bike, it's in that plane and it gets to Miami, I'm going to be very annoyed. You know, like, please, 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 please call somebody. Make sure that the bike doesn't get into the flight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All good. Long story short, they gave me a cash voucher, you know, money,
yeah,
which not very common. It has to be something like that. Like, you being denied your right to board a plane to get that quite generous paycheck. And they gave me some food vouchers and they put me in another plane to another airport in Miami. That is not, it's like 45 minutes away. We got it sorted. My mom helped me out. They were going to pick me up in the other airport. Okay. Finally, after like all day in the Toronto airport, I flew. Got to Miami. And guess what happened?
Your bike wasn't there.
My bike wasn't there.
Your baby.
Well, at this point, I was starting to go nuts. Absolutely nuts. I was so pissed and my mom was so excited to see me and I was so pissed. And I looking back, I was in the best mood or best energy. And so yeah, it was pretty late at this point. It was 12 in the morning and the airport was already closed and there was no staff. But my friend's mom worked for the airline that She sells tickets for the airline that was flying. So she was like, don't worry, we'll sort it out. They were calling everyone. Like, we need to sort it out. The bike was nowhere to be seen. Next day in Miami, the bike was nowhere to be seen. And we were going to be in Miami like 3 days, right? And that day we were meeting another friend of my mom that I know from all my life. She lives in Miami. She's an actress. And she's very spiritual. Very spiritual. And I left Chile as a very non-spiritual person and I was coming back as a very spiritual person. So it was really cool to see this person again. And we had some really good, actually we had some really good conversations. And she saw me. She was like, you're having bad energy. She was like, you need to change your attitude. You need to change the energy you're spreading to the universe and your bike will appear. But you know what? I have this Brazilian saint. It's like I always pray to that. I have this Brazilian saint in Brazil. I always pray to, and every time I ask, well, please, 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 things happen. So I promise you, I will send my prayers to the Brazilian saint. And I was like, okay. And I, at this point, I was like, you're right. Okay, my mom is here. I haven't seen my mom in 2 years. Like, I need to change my attitude. So from that point to the rest of the trip was awesome. We had a lot to catch up. It was amazing weather, amazing food. Had some really good time in Miami. And then, we left. The next day in the morning, yes, this was the next day in the morning. The next day in the morning, they wake me up, 7 in the morning, knocking the door. Diego, 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 what's up? Your bike appeared. I was like, what? It's in Brazil. And I was like, no fucking way. The Brazilian thing. I was like, that was so crazy. And I made it to Chile. Yeah, we were loading the plane. So we went to Chile. The bike was supposed to be sent. And it was supposed to arrive before me. We got to Chile. The bike wasn't there. It was still a shit show. But they went. Then the airline they were supposed to give the bike lost it again. They didn't know where it was. Fucking shit show, man. Oh, but wow. Yeah. So I got to Chile again, really pissed. I went there. But I was a little bit like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Saw my friends and everything. And a couple of days after, I got a call that at this point, everyone was involved. The airport crew in Brazil, the airport crew in Chile. It was like the manager of the airline, the manager of the airport. Like, I don't think that any passenger would have been this lucky. I need to say that I was lucky that I had some contacts because they went deep to find it. But they did find it. They did send it to Chile. And you're supposed to pay in Chile when you're bringing bikes from abroad, you're supposed to pay taxes. You're supposed to pay 28% of tax, which is quite a bit of money. And but after, because of all this happened, the airport manager went to the plane, grabbed my bag, and brought it to his office. So when I got it to get it from the airport, he was like, "Take it." So I got it in without paying taxes. That was absolutely wild. That's but amazing. Yeah, that was a crazy story with my bike around there. Yeah.
Go a little deeper on what you mentioned before, like meeting the lady, getting those like this like wake up call to like be more conscious about what you're sending out, like putting more energy on actually your vibration, and like how did this shift like happen at this point, or was it the beginning point, which what you just said with like getting a little bit in touch with yourself again and being more conscious? Or in what way did you loosen this connection, like loosen this connection with yourself a little bit? Obviously, yeah. through the depression, what you also said, all this trauma healing you also did while being in this place probably was also bringing you way out of your balance, probably out of your center.
Yeah, I feel like that was it. I was like unbalanced, right? I was angry. I was like experiencing this really low energy emotions, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with the energy levels that emotions have. There's a really good book called Letting Go that explains that was after my that comes a little bit after, but it explains a little bit how grief, anger, and obviously self-pity is like lowest vibration emotion.
Yeah.
And you go up on vibration as you, let me try to pull it up actually, as you feel higher vibrations, like self-realization is like the highest energy emotion.
Yeah. Just pull it up like easily.
And so obviously, I was spreading some really low energy emotions. I have it here. So I was angry. I was frustrated. I was blaming everything to the universe. You know, like, why do it happen to me? And then the moment that I had this conversation with this person, she was like you're spreading this, right? And then after that, I started changing a little bit my emotions and obviously what I was sending out as energy, right? Around me, around the people around me, and to the field, right? So I think that was a shifting point, obviously, because this was a concept that I didn't understand at this time, but it was as obvious as, dude, you are here, your mom came to see you, and you're being a brat, right? So get yourself together and enjoy the time with your mom. As simple as that. Obviously, with time and with more knowledge, I came to understand how this has a little bit more of deeper meaning, but I'm not going to tell you I did have that conscious at that time.
Yeah, no, because obviously, I didn't. No, I mean, it's sometimes it is also so difficult, like in this specific situation, whatever has triggered you. And even so, if there was like a situation which was building up towards like also a depression and getting out of it, I mean, it is all a process. And sometimes I think it's difficult to have this like perspective of zooming out of the situation and being able to like observe all the aspects. I think the more aligned you are, the easier it's getting. And I think the further you are like away from yourself, the more you have to do in terms of routines, in terms of like getting back to all those things which are really beneficial for yourself, and actually centering, like getting back into your center is then coming from all those routines, all the things which, like, for example, biking, for example, I don't know, having those good quality times maybe with friends, whatever that was for you. I think this is then where we have to focus on, but it takes work in the end of the day. I think
it takes work. There's basically a floating line that says boredom. Everything below that are levels of energy that are gonna bring you down, you know.
Yeah,
it's like you know how waves amplify, or you can have constructive interaction between two energy waves, or you can have destructive construction between two energy waves. Like, that's physics. Yeah. So anything below boredom, frustration, pessimism, impatience, irritation, doubt, worry, anger, rage, hatred, jealousy, guilt, insecurity, and powerlessness is a downward spiral. So if you fall into pessimism, you are likely to fall into frustration. You're likely to fall into irritation, impatience. And that's like, it's like an evil circle. I wouldn't say evil circle, it's not like a correct way to describe it, but it tends to lower you into lower vibration emotions. The good part of this is that if you are over the line of boredom and you go into positive expectations, commitment, belief, hope, hopefulness, optimism, enthusiasm, happiness, passion, eagerness, empowered, love, joy, and freedom, those lift you in the spiral of energy. And the like freedom, joy, love are really high energy emotions, right? They have the power to affect not only you, but the people around you, and they will feel it. You know, like you make impactful changes in the field, right? And on others. And so even if you're a little bit skeptical about the spirituality and the quantum metaphysics and the quantum field, you can still agree that a joyful person and a person that spreads love and excitement and high energy emotions, it's contagious. You will spread around people with you. If you are anger, frustrated, and have low vibration emotions, you're not gonna get much empathy from people around you, but those still spread. You can still spread those emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like the responsibility, I think, of understanding a little bit how we're feeling. I think a little bit further in this road from the point I'm describing now, I did get to that point where I was able to recognize how these emotions were governing me. And it was me that I was actually had to take control of my emotions. But yeah, because I got to Chile and a second wave of the depression came. It was actually because I was again doing long distance, and that didn't last long, actually. We did break up. I broke up. I started not feeling great with being so far away and such a different pace than I was living in Canada, that I wasn't sure about a lot of things on myself, that I needed some time to be alone and figure it out. And I was really sad because I knew that was going to actually be super hard for her. But I had to do it. I feel like I had to do it. So we broke up with Sophia when I got to Chile, not that long after, maybe a month aroundish. And then there was a lot that I had to face too. I came back and I felt everything around me was the same, even though I was not. Yes, in Canada, I definitely transformed myself, but I felt, especially with my family, I felt something different on me. And there was a lot of tension going on in my house when I left. I left at a point where the tension in my house between my stepmother, my dad, my stepbrothers, was super high. But as I left, I was like, I don't have to deal with this anymore. I'll just forget about it. I left. But then when I came back, it feels like something was broken. Like it was, I couldn't cope with it the way I was usually doing it. And that led to big confrontations within my household. And first of all, I never came back to my house. I stayed between friends' houses during the 5 months that I was in Chile, which was also a crazy experience. I was living out of a duffel bag, you know, like a big North Face bag.
Yeah.
My bike, a duffel bag, a couple of backpacks and a couple of plastic boxes. But yeah, there was an immediate break as soon as I got to Chile with my dad. And I don't know, that was also something I also had to sort by myself during those months. So there was another journey. And during those 5 months in Chile, I was living a lot of emotions, changing houses every 2 weeks, every month. I traveled a lot. I was on the road, working remotely. I really wanted to try this digital nomad lifestyle. I think that was my...
Yeah.
I think that's how I could definitely describe myself during that time. And yeah, I had a absolute great time. It was very powerful to connect with my country, with my people, with a lot of things that I was seeing with other eyes, right? It was not the Diego that grew up in the city and was used to the preconceived views of the world that I grew up with. I have a new view of the world. So looking at everything I grew up with, and I like basically knew with another perspective, it was really powerful. And I think it helped me a lot to know what I wanted to do in my life. And the main thing that I knew that I wanted to do in my life was going back to Canada. I knew that, and I always had faith that that was going to actually happen. So, I just trusted. Again, at this point, I'm still a digital nomad, living day by day, trusting the cosmic plan, trusting my heart, trusting that no matter what I do, I will land in the right place, even though I had no plan. No plan at all.
No, I think it's amazing. But what I want to actually dive in for just a little bit is that the swapping between homes and not really having a place.
Not easy.
Indeed. That's what I was thinking about. Like, because my girlfriend and I, we're living in Berlin right now. And we traveled for half a year in Mexico and Costa Rica. And after we came back, we didn't had a place to stay for like half a year. And we always had to swap like between like just families. But it was always a little bit of a struggle because you didn't really feel, I don't know how to say it. We always felt welcome, but we, on the other hand side, when you are chilling at someone's place or also at their parents' place, and you are used to actually living with your girlfriend or like just having your own place and have your own like kind of rules and systems, how everything works. It's frustrating. Was it like a big issue at the time? Because isn't it also giving someone like safety or I don't know, like this
specific place? I think the main thing, it's really hard to establish a routine. Really hard to establish a routine. Which makes working hard, which makes working out hard, which makes feeding yourself right. Like a lot of things that sometimes we associate with being a productive person. it's really hard to establish. And I feel like you're always running behind the clock, right?
Yeah.
I think that was the main thing. Always running behind the clock. I'm also a very time optimistic person. I overschedule. I always wanted to do everything. And
Same.
I was not living in the mountains anymore. Commuting from point A to point B took me 45 minutes, and that was also a big change. But I had some really cool things about that time that I lived. For example, 3-4 weeks in my I call it my third grandmother, because it's the grandmother of my cousins.
Yeah.
But she's like a grandmother for me, and she receives me in her house in the south of Chile, and it was like working in this forest. It was great times, but I also had a wedding in Santiago, so I had to drive 800 kilometers to go to this wedding, and then after the wedding I was meeting this friend to drive another 500 kilometers in the same way I came from to like go biking for a week. It was like always like, and here I drove like 4,000 kilometers that summer. It was absolutely wild, absolutely wild. And but I had the chance to live with two of my best friends, and that was absolutely amazing. And because we grew up together, they both were in the stage of their lives where they were living together. I was the first one from my friends to like actually move and be independent. But these are the two others that followed, you know, after me. And it was really amazing. And I really loved that time that I had to like see your best friend every day, you know, and just random beers midweek, or like watch a movie together, or let's go biking with a hippie and Seba. Yeah. And it was really cool. And actually Seba is now living in Barcelona, and I went to see him 2 weeks ago, and it was like so cool. And hippie's coming to visit me in 2 weeks. So nice. Yeah. Everything comes together, right? And so that was a cool experience. But the last place that I lived, it was with Seba. We rented a house in Santiago between four people. And it was like in a very urban, dense area. And at that point, I was already starting to, like, I lived there for 2 months, and I was like already starting to miss living in the mountains and in the forest a lot. I was like a little bit anxious of like leaving my house and be like surrounded by buildings and concrete. And I was like, I realized I changed. This is not the Diego that grew up here. This is the Diego now needs nature, needs water, needs trees, grass, green. I need it. Like my body is asking for it. But I always knew. And also during that summer, my visa arrived somehow. I don't know how that happened. I got another working holiday. I don't know how, man. So many people say I'm so lucky. I agree. I don't know. There was very few options for me to get a visa. I was the first in line to pay for a visa, to pay like around 4,000 euros for a visa, which is absolutely wild. It's absolutely wild to pay that much money to get just a 1-year visa, but I was willing to do it. And yeah, mid-February, mid-January, just got a random email from an immigration lawyer saying, you got another visa. You got selected in the pool. And I was like, what?
But what is driving you always to Canada? Like, why is there so much energy for you at this place? Because it doesn't matter if it is this interview now or the last interview we had, but why is this always this like holy grail for you to like manifest that into your journey and aligning everything towards like Canada and I mean obviously the nature, like, but what, like, what is the, yeah, like, is it your home in nature, your heart?
Right? Yeah, it at that time it was my home.
Wow.
Right, at that time it was my home, and I knew it, and that's what I found when I came to Chile, that in my heart I knew I wanted to be there, and that's exactly what I mean, you know, like my heart knew I wanted to be there. And when these things started to happen, I was like not even impressed anymore at this point, right? I was like, dude, like, things just come together. Like, I keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Yeah.
And things keep happening, right? And I was like, at this point, I was so convinced on the power of will and the power of manifestation. And again, you don't really need to be spiritual to believe this. It's like, you just need to know that conviction is one of the most powerful things that we have as human beings, right? If you want anything in this life, first thing you need is to create it with your mind and with your heart. Anything else you will make it happen somehow. And if you believe in the cosmic plan, the universe will provide it somehow. But if not, you will make it happen. You will go there. You will gravitate there because that's where your heart points you. You will follow your heart. And as long as you do that, you will end up where you are. And that's what happened, I think, with Canada and when regarding your question. I just knew it. Like, I wanted to be there. Got the visa. I wanted to be there. I want to go there. I'm just going to buy tickets. Bought the tickets. I had a date.
The really important question is still not answered. How are you ending up where you are right now? Like, holy shit.
I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit. This was the moment for Diego to accomplish his dream. Diego always wanted to be a mountain bike instructor, but I wanted to do it well. This time I had the visa. This time I had the experience. This time I had the skills. I already went through the skill pro. I was ready for a big challenge professionally. So I contact one of my former certified coaches. Like, I got to know a lot of people in the industry that 2 years, that those 2 summers I spent on Whistler biking. So I contact one of my biggest mentors in the mountain bike industry. His name is Duncan. I knew they were starting a company, and I knew they were going to operate that summer. And I told him, hey, I have a visa. I want to work. And he was like, dude, consider it done. So I just planned everything. I got a house. Everything came out, obviously, very together, very easily, because getting a house in Whistler is super hard, but somehow I found one. And I got there. And I feel like the moment I got there, it was like, you know, like I could feel like my shoulders just relaxed, right?
Wow.
I was back home. And I was one of the first feelings that I got as soon as I got back. I remember meeting my friend Eric Donner, another amazing friend in this journey, also from that generation of Whistler 2020, Quebec generation, refused to go home, stayed still there. Now he wants to be a pilot. He's following his dream. Wow. And he's fucking crushing it. But we met there that day. And I remember telling him, like, I'm home. I was in Vancouver looking at the mountains and the buildings, like, I'm home. Here I am. This is where I belong. So, yeah, I went all in that summer. I got the pro deals that I always want to do. I got the relationships that I always want to create in the industry. I was starting to get a recognition. I was starting to get some kind of, not sponsorship, but because I was getting gear at a really good price. I got everything new, shoes, helmet. I got like full kitted, you know, I wanted to look professional. And I was going to work 2 jobs, right? I was going to work this job. And I was also going to keep working at my job because I wanted to go for permanent residency. So my plan was to work as much as I could as a bike coach. They make me a contract. I was sending this contract to my dad. And he was like, oh, dude, how do you do this? Like, full contract. You are hired for the full summer to be a bike coach. I was like head over my heels, right? That was one of highest moments, I would say, of my life. I know there's more to come, but that was like one of those things that you just dream, you know, like you would write down in a list how you would picture your perfect lifestyle. And that was it.
Wow.
I was feeling fit. I was feeling happy. I had a network of friends of support, Chilean friends, Argentinian friends. I was like, just, you know, and one of the things that was pending to be resolved, it was Sophie, my, at this point, ex-girlfriend. And we came back together. And this time she was living in Revelstoke. I was living in Whistler. We were living like 460 kilometers away. So we decided to make it work and make the effort. And that, that was a big change in our relationship because back in the days, I was like very laid back. I didn't do much, to be honest. And this time it was like, no, you need to do something about this. You need to go travel. You need to go see her. You need to make sure to treat your lady, right? That's how you build a healthy relationship. And in the middle of this, all of this, my brother also was following his dream. he got accepted in the University of British Columbia in Kelowna, 400 kilometers away from me. He's gonna study a master's in biological science and hopefully a PhD in microbiology or molecular biology. Forgive me, Vicente, if I didn't say it right, but it's a very, very, very technical career, and I'm very proud of him. So everything was like, now I have family here. Everything was coming together, and that summer went really fast. Like, and in September, I didn't have more bike coaching, and I had to find a way to keep logging in hours for my PR. So I went to my job that at this point I've been promoted. I'm a manager. I'm not an engineer anymore. I'm a technical program manager. I was in charge of the whole technical program. That's a conversation for another day. And I grew a lot professionally. I knew that I was very valuable. And that's another key takeaway. Make yourself valuable. Train yourself. Find ways to make yourself more important in organizations. Coach people. That was something. I was coaching biking, but I was also coaching my peers to be better professionals, to grow in their careers, something I'm also very passionate about. And I was like, guys, like I need either a contract from Canada or I quit. Like, two options. So they did make me a contract to Canada, and I was now free to go wherever I wanted again. And after a three-week vacation in Europe, that was also one of my lifetime dreams. Sophia invited me to a wedding of her auntie. Her other auntie was getting, the brother of her father was getting married in Greece. Oh, wow. So another crazy story, man. Full Mamma Mia wedding. wild. Like, I was like, is this even possible? Like, where am I? Full of Norwegians, by the way. Full Norwegian wedding. Oh, absolutely wild. And as we came back, we moved back to Revelstoke, where everything started, man. Right where we finished the pod last time, I was there. But this time, we were renting a very nice room in a very nice house. I had my dream work remote set up. We have a very nice room. We are living a kilometer away from the ski hill. I actually timed myself how much it would take me to close the computer like this, whoop, and go to the top of the mountain. 26 minutes was my record. 26 minutes. That's insane. Boots on, living the lift. Yeah, that was absolutely insane. So, like jumping from one dream to another one, right? I'm where I want professionally. I'm hard to Canada now. I'm getting my PR hours. November. My PR is going to come. Like, you know, like I'm 30 hours away from finishing my PR. November is like, I'm living back in Revelstoke. Snowing, it's starting ski season. Canadian government decides to change the rules. And all my work experience in Canada, ski instructing, bike coaching, invalid.
Holy shit. Okay.
Holy shit. But nothing was lost at this point. With PR, I was like, I had like three plans. That was my planning. That was the best one. You need to get PR in Canada, you need to score certain score. And the score, they're like weekly, big weekly, they invite and they have like a cut score. So if you are over the score, you don't get an invitation. The moment you get a score, you get an invitation. So I was, my other plan was, I had an engineer profile as a 4-year experience engineer with my English test and everything I've done, that was total 486 points. But in November, I was going to reach 516, and they were already inviting for 455. So I was going to get invited. And the week before I was going to get invited, they changed the rules. A little frustration, but I was like, still have a plan. I still had this contract, and I was going to have it for a full year, and they were going to sponsor me. So it was like, okay, I'll just keep working the whole year for this company and I'll get the PR, whatever. just take a little bit longer. I'm still living in paradise. Gonna be tight financially for another year. Whatever, man. I'm gonna do it. So we rolled into winter with that plan A, and Sophia also had a visa. We both had visas at this point. We were both working. So it was like actually really good. And Sophia at this point already put her application for PR. And she's been working for this company for a year, so she could push her application, and now she was like trapped in Canada until she got her PR, right? Yeah. So we were like, okay, after all this hassle, after all this journey, we broke up, we came back together, I went to Chile, you went to Norway. We are back where we started. And now we have a home. We just need to go in airplane mode and live our best lives, right? But here is where the plot twist comes. Because there has to be a plot twist, right? There has to be a plot. And I hope that anybody who's listening to the podcast, this podcast, makes it to this point, because this whole story is about to get very wild. February 2023. So a couple months ago, right? Yeah. Sophia tells me, I'm a little bit worried. My period doesn't come. And I'm like, dude, whatever. This is not my first rodeo. This has happened to me before. It's okay. It's going to come in a couple days. A week passes. Sophia is like, Diego, I'm very worried. Never happened to me before. He's like, dude, it's going to be okay. Just if you are really worried, just go and get a pregnancy test. Okay. Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were leaving for this 4-day hot trip in the backcountry. 4 days that we were going to be in the mountains, like deep in the mountains, touring with no connection to anything, absolutely disconnected. 5 a.m, we were waking up for that trip. So Sophia woke up, went to the bathroom to pee in the stick. She comes back. I'm pregnant.
Whoa.
And I looked at, and I was like, my immediate reaction was like, I was like, nah. You're like, nah. How? This is impossible. We got in the car, like, we had to leave. Our friends were waiting for us. We're in the car, it's like, what are we going to do? Like, Sophia, I don't want to talk about this. And we went to this trip, and every single time we were alone, we were like, we're going to be parents. And I was like, Sophia, I know, but like, you know, like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, like, do you want to keep it? And she was like, 50%, 50 not. Like, she's still thinking like a PR. Like, we are in a, like, right now I cannot have a baby. Like, I'm waiting for my PR. And like, it would be so hard to have it in Canada. We can barely financially take care of ourselves. How are we going to take care of a baby, you know? Next day, she's like, I think I'm 65% sure I want to have it. Third day, I think I'm 99% sure I'm going to have it. And I was like, dude, if we're doing this, we're doing it, right? And yeah, man, long story short, everything started happening very fast. Quick math. Diego, you're an engineer. You can get easily a visa in Norway. If you are with your studies, you can get a 3-year visa. She did like, dude, Sophia, when she hyper-focuses, her level of productivity, it's actually amazing when she puts her full focus on something. She figured it out 2 days. She had it full figured out. She was like, oh, to qualify for maternity leave, I need to leave like in a week. And I was like still trying to understand what was happening, right? Suddenly, she was gone. And I was like, fuck, this is happening. And I was like, I need to get tickets. I bought tickets without like hesitating much. I bought tickets, but the next 3 weeks, it was wild. Selling all the furniture.
Wow.
Selling the car, selling all my shit, trying to pack everything in a duffel bag, a bike box, and a ski bag. And a suitcase. It was a 4-bag travel. And yeah, I was so hectic in the process getting my driver's license in Canada because I didn't have one. Oh, and because I needed to drive everywhere to move everything, right?
Yeah.
And oh man, just like that, 4 or 5 weeks, and I was in Norway.
holy shit! So just like slow down on this a little bit. Yeah, you had to make the changes because it just is overall more plannable to live now in Norway than in Canada because of all the visa situation, of also the work situation changed for you. You're still with the company, just to like get.
I'm still working for this company.
Okay. Okay.
I'm still working for this company. Yes, I had to quit that sponsorship because the moment I left Canada, I was not being able to work for Canada anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
No, so I had to like quit the PR dream for a bit. But I was like, I didn't even think about it. You know, like there's priorities, and mainly healthcare, education, housing, pay, and the level of support that you receive in Norway for having children is absolutely wild.
Yeah.
It was make no sense to stay in Canada. Her being Norwegian, right?
First of all, before I forget, like, congratulations. Like, holy shit. I mean, this is...
Thank you.
I mean, I did, like, it's freaking... I mean... amazing, like it's really beautiful for you guys, for real. Like it's really nice and it's really beautiful to hear that. I'm very happy for you, so I just want to mention that in the podcast, like holy shit. And it is I really felt with you when you said it, because it is such a big change, like the awareness you start to create, because you are not just responsible for yourself and maybe your partner, but you're responsible for someone like a baby who cannot do anything basically without you. And it's just like, you are the person who needs to provide for the kid, or like for the baby who's like growing up. And you, especially, you are like in charge of all the things we're talking about, like all the things we worked through, all those traumas we are obviously now trying to avoid for our kid. Like holy shit,
main thing. I was like, everything, all these emotions that I have in me that are just reactive, I cannot afford myself, so they're missing them, right? And there was a lot of generational trauma in my family, and I had to work really hard, which I finished the process of working really hard just before I knew I was going to be a dad.
Wow.
So it just came, you know, they say you are not ready until you're ready. And sometimes you're not ready until you know that you're going to be a dad. I was not ready, but maybe I was. Who knows? You know, it was just a resolution for a lot of things that just happened a month ago. And with my traumas, with my whole process, I was seeing a very spiritual psychologist too, and he helped me a lot with this higher frequency emotions, and how these lower frequency emotions like anger, they were pulling me down, and they were usually related to the upper level. Like anger was, no, it was not only anger, there was something beneath it, but we got it through. And then something like this happens, and I'm like, okay, I cannot afford living to paycheck anymore. I need to take care of my finances. I started learning about investment. I started like taking a little bit of savings every month to put on investments, to put on savings accounts, making sure that my money wasn't getting devalued. Like an immediate transformation process started going on me. First, I need to say it was the financial part. For me, it was a big, big, I would say, wake up call. I was like, I need to start making money. Like I cannot just be able to support my hobbies and myself. I need to support another human being. So that was a big shift. And I talked about, like, in the company I was working, there was a roof that I think I reached.
Yeah.
I knew I was not gonna pay more. Even though when we moved to Norway, immediately our life got a little bit cheaper. We are currently living. Yes.
Cheaper. Oh wow.
Because we're currently living in the summer in the same land that Sofia's parents and my parents-in-law, in a house. We're living there for free. So that was like an immediate unstress, like €1,000 every month we were paying on rent.
Yeah.
Each. immediately was money that we could start saving. So that was immediate change. But one of the main things for me, as I'm Chilean, I don't have a European Union passport. So I can only stay in Norway for 90 days.
Oh.
And that meant that I had to find a job. I had to get a visa, right? And my only way to get a visa for me as an engineer and like with my background is like having to get a job. I immediately talked, as I told you, I had a really open relationship with my boss. I talked him right away. Like, this is going to happen. Maybe in a couple of weeks. Maybe talked him a month before it happened. Like,
yeah,
like this is happening. Yeah, I don't know when, but I'm leaving. You know, like I need a job in Norway. I need to be able to stay here indefinitely.
Yeah. Of course.
And that also happened really fast. it's just like in a couple of weeks, maybe a month. Well, I really got an interview when I was in. I got looking for a job right away. So I got an interview in Norway when I got here. My friend's interview got really well. They were looking somebody exactly like me with my skills, with my management skills, agile methodologies, software development background, product management, project management. Perfect. Like spot candidate. But you don't speak Norwegian. Super sad. Yeah. But they were like, there's companies in Haugesund where I live. Now I live in Haugesund in the western coast of Norway. There's companies that speak English as their business language. And I opened a little bit my mind regarding what I wanted to do. I wasn't going to work in software, maybe. And I was like, maybe there's a lot of offshore industry in Norway, right? Energy sector. There's a lot of providers of services for the energy sector to do work in the ocean. And I got another interview in a company called Deep Ocean. That does a, it's a world leading company in subsea services. And yeah, it came a couple of interviews and somehow I got myself a job offer. They were hiring engineers and I think I brought something different to the table that they didn't have. And they were interested and I got a job, man.
That's freaking amazing. How long did it took you from like how many weeks in to the 90 days?
I started on the 9th of May and I arrived to Norway on, took me like 5 weeks to get a job. Or 5 weeks to get a job.
But that's still so fast. Like it's really a short period.
It was perfect timing. They were in the process
of
upscaling the engineering team. So they were looking for engineers.
Oh, nice.
And I actually started before all the new engineers because I was in Norway. You need to give a three-month notice to hire somebody or like, you know, like somebody's working on another company has to give 3 months notice to start in a new job. So all the engineers were supposed to start in June, late May. And I wanted to start right away, right?
Yeah.
So I was the first one from all the new engineers to start, which was pretty funny because I was one of the last ones to be hired, but I was the first one to start.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Very fascinating. And then
I got my visa, which was the most important. I have a residency card. I have a residency in Norway for 3 years. So yeah, man, everything happened very fast. And now I'm having a home, right? I'm living the routine. I'm going to work every day. I'm going to the gym. I still do my biking. I try to do it as much as possible. Obviously, I'm not living where I was living. I don't have this scene. But at some point, I stopped comparing and I just started embracing my reality and finding the best out of it. And I found really cool people. I found really good places. And the bike already has made me see way more and experience way more than I would have if I didn't bike. So it's always like that, right?
Thank you so much. Like I'm a little speechless from the whole journey and also picking up the, at least it felt like the last 15 minutes flew by like nothing. It's still, I'm still like processing
the plot twist.
Yeah, no, it's very very fascinating, and also now the whole decision process obviously makes sense. What you already said, like when it comes to providing, actually now having those this like reality now you're living, actually becoming a dad, I think this is something, or becoming a mom on the other hand as well, is something extremely special. And I think this is an accelerator in terms of development, which is not possible in any other way. Because like when you know you, that you become a dad or a mom, I think this is like, it just turns something different on, which you cannot turn off, like back off. And this is really the awareness of, one on the one side, providing, even so I don't know it because I am not becoming a dad, but it's just what I also had this conversation with my mom, like we're also very open and stuff, and she also really feedbacked me how, like, what a driver a kid can be for your career, for your own business, for whatever, like for this, like creating something which is stable, a stable environment for your kid. I think this is really something which parents then want to create. And I think that's an interesting journey you're starting. How many months is the baby now, may I ask?
Sophia is 9 months pregnant, man. The baby can come tomorrow, can come in a week.
Wow.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, maximum four, but in the next 4 weeks, I am going to be a dad. For sure. And let me tell you something funny. Maybe a month ago, I was going through, because now I found a lot of new professional challenges, but I'm always thinking about businesses and things that I can do. And I'm trying to use my time off. For example, I'm making this app on my time off. Like, I'm always trying to keep myself busy and learning. I really picked on reading lately, a lot. I'm reading a lot and I'm loving it. I was like starting going through my head, and I started having a deep existential crisis. What's the meaning of my life? What, like, I want to be somebody meaningful for people. I want to be impacts people's life. Like, and then I was like, wait a minute. I'm about to be somebody very important for somebody. Bullshit. I shouldn't be even questioning this. Like, something really big is about to happen in my life. Like, I shouldn't have this kind of existential crisis right now. Like, all my questions are going to be probably resolved the moment this baby's born, right?
Yeah.
I was like, never mind.
it's just crazy, like, to wrap my head around, especially like that I gonna get into the position. That's why it's so fascinating to me to have this thought process and see what went on in your life. Like, holy cow, this is also going to happen at some point to me. And it's just very, very interesting. Besides all this development, like, I don't know, maybe I would love to wrap up the podcast slowly about like those key, like, couple key takeaways which you can deepen a little bit. I mean, first of all, I would love to dive a little more into when you went in the darker place with your, like, where you had to face traumas, when you had to go back and heal certain things. Is there like a specific key thing which triggered you or which really was holding you back, which you might want to share, which is maybe also from help for someone who might be in the situation or is getting into the place?
Yeah, speak up and don't be afraid to ask for help. It's not shameful to recognize that sometimes you cannot deal with things by yourself. It's actually very brave to be able to come to yourself and be so self-aware to say, this is overwhelming for me, I need help. That's something that it's beautiful. And I think that it, when you are there and your self-esteem is super low, being able to do that and wanting to change your situation is the first step. So I see this a lot, and especially this masculinity kind of idea that boys don't cry. You can always deal with this. Like, why do you even ask for help? What is depression? No, man, this shit is real. And the best of us fall. So don't hesitate. Ask for help. Talk to someone and vent it out. Like, don't hold it in yourself, right? Let it go, you need to be able to voice it, right? So let it out of your body and don't be afraid to ask for professional help or any kind of help, but just recognize that maybe you are not able to do it only by yourself, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's beautiful what you also mentioned, like this image of being a man or a woman, like, and having like a specific way on how to deal with emotions, like what society puts onto you, or maybe your dad or whoever is really the man who has influenced you the most, is very interesting. That is very true. And now coming to maybe the next point, like from those like past almost like now 3 years where we haven't talked, can you maybe also, when it comes to like a more deeper understanding, share maybe 2-3 things which you think are relevant to share for people who have struggled with actually like listening to what they want? Like sometimes there's also the time when you like lose your voice a little bit, like, you know, when this voice in yourself gets very, very quiet, and when you are not certain what you should now listen to, when you are not really certain where to go, maybe you have some advice for this kind of circumstance.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, I think I wanted to share that I think there was a very big maturity change in me these past few years. I used to follow my guts blindly, and I went through a very deep spiritual transformation in which made me believe in this field and in the power of manifestation and where those things can bring me. And it was a beautiful journey. But at some point, I made the shift to make things less random and make myself the creator of my own reality. And I think that's something really important for people to also understand, is like, I have friends that always say to me, you've been super lucky. And hell yeah, I've been lucky. Heck yeah. My dad always says, you always land on your feet. And it's so true. But I think it was myself also unconsciously being the creator. But I think the moment I was actually more conscious about the possibilities of me being the creator of my own reality shifted a lot my decision making. And I think for the sake of taking a little bit of a longer loop, which taking the long road is always fine, it will bring you to some freaking amazing experiences and adventures. But if you have an objective, for example, if you have a goal and you're really clear about it, you can create that reality way faster if you are conscious about your power to be a creator of your own life, your power of understanding your deepest desires, and like try to associate it to passion, love, and really energetic emotions, and drive yourself there and take conscious steps in the right direction, right? Because I used to be a little bit of a loose cannon, to say, I'll just like live the day. And it was a time of my life where I was very present, I would say, living the day to day, day by day, connecting with the people around me. But right now, with what's happening and my current context, and I have like bigger financial goals, there's people that has big projects, big entrepreneurship, you know, businesses, or big travels, or something that they can really picture them in their mind, right? And if you already are able to create it in your mind, you are so able to create it in your life. And I think that's something that I really lacked during those years. Like being the one thing that I really pictured was when I really wanted to be a bike coach in a Whistler, and I did it. But if you are a little bit more mature than me at that stage and you already have these projects, try to jot them down, get a whiteboard. I liked using a notebook, but write these ideas and just start creating them in your head, every single detail. And the more detailed you are on that plan, the less you're going to deviate into your final creation. And I'm actually reading a book that talks about it. It's called The 7 Habits of the Highly Effective People. It's a really famous book.
Yeah.
And it talks about that we humans, as people, we create things twice. First time, it's when we imagine them, which is highly influenced by our views of the world, our people around us, and a lot of things. There's a lot of noise. So if we are able to isolate those ideas and create them in our minds so clear that we can see them, we can feel them. It's just a matter of time, and you're going to create them physically in your life. A good analogy is like you're building a house. If you are really sure about how you want this house to be, and all the diagrams and everything, it's perfectly spotted to the last centimeter, the project is going to be a success. There's not going to be changes in budget. It's going to be fast. It's going to be exactly as you picture it. They say carpenters, they measure twice before cutting once, right? And on the other side, if you make mistakes, then you want to change the bathroom from one side to the other one. And then like all these things that you change on the way and you realize you didn't want, that's going to create a big change on the whole process. You're going to reach the end goal, but it's going to be a longer road. So I think that could be a good way to explain, I think, the biggest shift in my mentality since the first time we talked and how I think nowadays.
It's beautifully explained, and I 100% agree. We made the experience with my girlfriend when it comes to, I mean, it will also come up probably at a later point, but I mean, when it comes to a house, I think that's going to be relevant at some point, probably for you guys. We actually manifested very strongly our flat now, which we're having in Berlin, very interestingly. It was resulting in, I was saying it as a joke, like not necessarily seriously. I said 80 square meters with a balcony and everything. And I was not taking myself too serious, which was actually a little bit stupid, because this is exactly like the measurement and how I like pictured it, plus the price, which I thought was like, it's a super good price. It's like €400 under like the average price in this area. And it's insane how powerful we can be, what you just described so beautifully, when we are actually clear and have our focus towards a goal we would love to attract. But talking about this just like for a little bit, like how for yourself are you getting clear on what you wish to have? Because I still think that there are many people out there, sadly, which don't have the focus on what they actually would love to achieve. To like they are just wandering around, but they are not using they are manifesting something, but then just something, whatever that might be, is coming into their life, but not really what they are like wanting, or like where's this like desire maybe coming from?
I think this is gonna be a little bit off the rails, but and it's gonna sound cliche, but it's living in the moment, right? Being present. Now, I've been exploring a lot of context, a concept called flow state, right? Flow state. Are you familiar with the concept?
No. Explain, please.
Flow state. It's described as a state of mind in which our brain is fully focused on what we're doing. Right? Musicians, when they play, they get on flow state. I get on flow state when I ride my bike, or when I ski. It's very important in our modern society to find something as humans that we're passionate about, that we really like doing, that get us into that state, that makes us take our attention out of screens, noise, so much noise around our heads, and just get on that. And I'm doing an activity, some people cook, whatever you are doing. The longer you can stay in that state, the clearer you're going to think, the easiest these ideas are going to come. It sounds super abstract, but believe me, people that know their passions, that have a passion, that have a hobby, they are so clear about their minds. I have a friend, really good friend, one of my best friends here. He absolutely loves refereeing handball. That's his hobby. He loves it. And he's a person that is so clear in his mind because he knows that he's old, like he goes, does his thing. He comes home and he's so pure to himself when he does the activity that he loves, that these ideas come naturally. Come from your heart, right? It's like a highway from your heart to your mind, because you're staying in that state of pureness, no distractions, no other noise. You're just focused on doing a certain activity. And I think that's something important for anybody, any human being will needs to find something they're passionate about, anything, and hopefully something that they challenge their skill, like that is not too boring. If you're doing something you're passionate about, you are bored, you might start to wandering around, thinking whatever. But if you're doing something you're passionate about and you are challenged, your brain is going to start boom, 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 boom. And then you're going to have spent a quite good of time living in the present moment. And ideas are going to just come. And when you are living a life full of those high emotions and true to yourself, the longer time you spend being true to yourself, the better you get to know yourself. And then the better you know yourself, the more clear you are about what things you want in life, right? So I think it's a lot. It's just, I think it's maybe a very practical way to find your path in life. So sometimes if you are very lost on what you really want to do, pick up a hobby, do something with your time, you know, find something that you really enjoy doing, and don't think too much about the future. Don't put a lot of pressure about what you want to do. Just live your life how it is right now, but find something that really makes you passionate. That's, I think, my advice for people. Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Give the audience maybe one quick message, impulse you want to share to finish up the podcast and to, yeah, basically let all the listeners go into the beautiful world.
I'm going to go a little bit mystic now. I think we should do it. Follow your butterflies. When I was in Whistler, before all this started, back in 2020, where I was about to come to Chile and I asked for the universe, I sat down, I was very connected. I was like meditating a lot. I was doing a 21-day challenge. So I was like, everything I interpreted like as a signal of the universe, everything around me. I sat down by a river, I remember. And I did like a very conscious meditation. And I asked, please, universe, show me a sign. Please, like a sign. And a white butterfly came in front of me. Since then, I've been seeing them everywhere, man. Everywhere. And whenever I see them, I tell myself, I'm in the right path. So find that thing, you know, like ask for signals. Ask the universe for signals. If you're lost, just connect with you and ask for a signal, because something weird is going to happen in your life. And if it doesn't, please send me a message and complain. Say, this guy told me that something was going to happen in my life. But just do it. And if nothing happens, okay, you spend 10, 20 minutes of your time breathing and just relaxing. You're not going to, it's not going to affect you negatively in any way, more so positively. So yeah. Please do it and tell me how it goes.
Thank you so much for sharing everything, for being so open, for being so transparent about your journey. It was a pleasure talking to you. It's just amazing, and it just really reminded me on why I actually do the podcast also again, because this is actually the second podcast I did since restarting the podcast, because I also did actually take a big break with the podcast, which actually was upsetting myself. And now while talking, I'm actually realizing like that this is actually what lets my time fly. Like time flies by really, really fast when I have this conversation, when I reconnect, when I'm so close with you. Yeah, no, 100%. It is my flow state. And when I don't notice how long we have actually been talking already, and funny enough, starting to remember, even without re-listening too much of the episode, but really being connected with you and knowing very precisely what moments you are referencing to, which is such a great thing. So thank you so much, yeah, for sharing all the knowledge, for being so open, and yeah, thanks.
Thanks to you, man. It's always a pleasure. It's amazing what you're doing. I think I'm starting to really see this thing coming together. When we talked last time, it was very green and early stages. And I see you more mature. I see you, I think you also learned some things that makes the dynamics, I think it's getting more interesting. So I've seen the growth. I have pending to listen to the Emily, but I saw it in the Spotify. I will listen to it because I know you also interview her again, and I'm really interested in seeing what she has to say. Yeah. But yeah, I want this community to keep growing and hear some really cool stories of people around the world, right? This is what we're here for.